A new report shows that Salt Lake City women are regularly concerned about their safety. A West Valley City Councilman joins the mayoral race, and government and environmental leaders discuss the future of the Colorado River. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, May 29th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Women who live in Salt Lake City are regularly concerned about their safety while getting around town, according to a new report released today by the city's Human Rights Commission and the Mayor's Office of Diversity and Human Rights. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
The report is called The Status of Women in Salt Lake City. In it are the perspectives of more than 600 women from across the socioeconomic spectrum on challenges they face. Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker says a woman's lens of the world is different from that of a man's.
And we need to account for that, not only in our own lives and in the respect that we have for the other gender in our lives, but also in our policies. So this is going to be enormously helpful.
The report focuses on education, health and safety, social and political and economic statuses of women. Responses indicate the need for improvements, especially in general safety. More than 21% of women surveyed mentioned safety as a primary concern. The report notes that in 2010, the Salt Lake City Police Department recorded 111 reports of rape, but it's estimated that roughly 1,000 additional rapes went unreported that year. Salt Lake City Human Rights Commission Director Yolanda Francisco Nez says women suggested ample street lighting would make them feel safer.
Particularly, we have women who are of low socioeconomic status in West Side neighborhoods who are concerned about public transportation in terms of getting from the track station to the buses to their jobs late at night when there's very little street lighting available.
Last year, the Salt Lake City Council changed the way the city pays for street lighting by imposing a fee instead of using tax dollars to ensure the city could afford to keep the lights up to standard. Mayor Becker says the city will likely be able to make improvements without raising the cost of street lighting again. Other recommendations in the report include increasing overtime pay for special victims detectives to respond to crimes against women, increase access to gender-specific health care, support agencies that promote female entrepreneurs, and increase the minimum wage. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
West Valley City Councilmember Don Christensen announced his plan yesterday to run for mayor of that city. Christensen says after the incumbent mayor, Mike Winder, declared he would not run for re-election, many of his friends and associates encouraged him to get into the race.
And I thought, man, if everybody wants me to run, I better do it. So I thought long and hard about it, talked to my family, and we decided that it would be a good step, and we'd go ahead and do it.
Christensen says with 4 years' experience serving on the West Valley City Council, he has a good feel for what the city is and what it needs. He says the city's current challenges, especially with its police department, have actually further unified residents of West Valley.
It's one of those things where everybody is working to make it better. And one of my goals as mayor would be to make sure that all of the citizens, all of the residents, had a chance to participate and to help make the city better and be a part of it and feel a part of it.
Christensen says he's running a nonpartisan campaign and has support from both Democrats and Republicans. His opponent in the race so far, the only other candidate, is former city council member Margaret Peterson, who announced her candidacy 2 weeks ago. Water managers from seven states, Native American tribes, and conservation groups are pledging to find ways to get more from every drop of water in the drought-stricken Colorado River. At a meeting yesterday in San Diego, Deputy Interior Secretary Ann Castle announced the formation of working groups to represent agricultural, municipal, and environmental interests as they work to implement the findings of a study of the Colorado that was released last year.
We also want to broaden that partnership to include the many Indian tribes that rely on the Colorado River for their water supplies, to include recreational interests, interests representing ecosystems, and renewable power generation. That's exactly what the Bureau of Reclamation's basin studies are intended to do.
Water shortages are predicted on the river, serving some 40 million people in seven western states and northern Mexico. Bureau of Reclamation Chief Michael Connor says 2013 could turn out to be the fourth driest year in the Colorado Basin in the past 100 years. Last year was the fifth driest.
Utah philanthropist and arts education advocate Beverly Taylor Sorensen has died at the age of 89. KUER's Andrea Smartin looks back at her legacy.
Beverly and her late husband James Lavoie Sorensen devoted millions of dollars to cultural, educational, and scientific projects in the state. In recent years, Beverly Sorensen is best known for her efforts to expand arts education in Utah. In 2011, she was awarded the Salt Lake Chamber's Athena Award for her efforts to integrate arts curriculum into elementary schools across the state. Chamber President Lane Beatty says her work has benefited thousands of children and will have an impact for generations to come.
What she has done to take arts into schools and to help children with not just art, meaning drawing, but the theater and music and every aspect of culture. She really believes that the opportunities that people have in their lives are enhanced by arts.
Sorensen had 8 children and 49 grandchildren. Her son Jim Sorensen, also a major philanthropist, says his mother will be remembered in the family for her love for others, her empathy, and her service.
My mother really loved the underdog, the disadvantaged, the misunderstood, and her time, her efforts, and devotion really was in making this world a better place for everybody.
Jim Sorensen says the family will carry on with his mother's goal to bring the arts to every child in Utah schools. He says with the support of the community and the state legislature, Beverly Sorensen's dream could be fulfilled within 5 years. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Clark Aposhian, chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council and a supporter of gun rights in the state, was arrested yesterday at a home in Cottonwood Heights. He's accused of harassing and making threats against a woman who lives there. Aposhian told the Salt Lake Tribune the statement the woman gave the police is false, and his attorney says if anyone was threatened in the incident, it was Aposhian himself. Reports of a gun threat at North Davis Junior High forced the lockdown of that school and the nearby high school and elementary schools yesterday. Clearfield City said on its Twitter feed that no actual threat was found after a search of the school. Around 1,200 people are gathering for a convention on redesigning cities in Salt Lake City this week. Salt Lake's efforts to promote walking, bicycling, and mass transit will be on display during the annual convention of the Congress for the New Urbanism. A website that publishes inmate booking photos is suing Salt Lake County Sheriff Jim Winder for denying a public records request for more than 1,000 mugshots. The Salt Lake County Sheriff denied the records request in February, saying his office could deny the request because it holds copyright control over the images. Kyle Prawl, who runs the website BustedMugshots.com, says in documents filed in 3rd District Court that if a judge doesn't overturn the decision, it would set a dangerous precedent beyond mugshots into broader rights of public access. Some sites that publish jail booking photos charge hundreds of dollars to take them off their public websites and then often fail to follow through. And finally, Guillermina Garcia gave birth to a healthy set of quintuplets over the weekend at the University of Utah Hospital. She had help from a team of 8 doctors, 1 anesthesiologist, and dozens of nurses ensuring the mother and the tiny baby survived. The 3 girls and 2 boys weighed between 2 and 3 pounds each. They're expected to stay in the hospital for another 6 weeks, but doctors predict they'll grow up completely healthy. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, May 29th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.